How many of you ever heard of Ben Carson? Yeah, good guy. He's Seventh-day Adventist by faith. He's definitely a God-fearing man. I think from the things I've heard from him, I do believe that he is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation and not law-keeping. I don't know if you've ever watched the movie Gifted Hands. We have it, and we're more than happy to loan it out to you. But he's another fella that grew up in a very underprivileged situation, but that did not keep him from success. And I love those stories. Amen. And Ben Carson, he never knew his father. His mother, as a single mom, could not read. She faked her boys out for quite a while till they figured it out. But she could not read. I think she only had like maybe a third grade or second grade education. Then after that, nothing. She had some learning disabilities. And later on, she actually cleaned house for a retired college professor, and he actually taught her how to read. And that was, you know, the old saying goes, the nut doesn't fall far from the tree. And her tenacity to try to learn to read, even in her older years, is pretty evident to where he got his tenacity from to not let his circumstance control him. Amen. I cannot read that from here, but it says, success is determined not by whether or not you face obstacles, but by your reaction to them. And that is so true for all of us. We're all going to face obstacles. After he graduated, and I think he went to one of the Ivy League schools on an academic scholarship, and I think it was Harvard, but I'm not 100% sure. He went to medical school at Johns Hopkins University. And it was there that he wanted to go into neurosurgery, brain surgery, basically. And he was not welcomed with open arms by some of the leadership and the staff there. But he didn't let that discourage him either. There's a lot of things that could have kept him from success, but he didn't let that happen. And this quote here talks about praying to the Lord. When I don't have an answer, I pray. God is the only alternative source of help. And that is so true. And we need to do that. We need to depend on the Lord for our help and let the Lord help us through the difficult times. And he learned that. He had a real anger problem as a young man, and God helped him with that. And all of us have things that could be our Achilles heel, that could be the very thing that causes us to fail. His was anger, and probably largely due to his circumstance in society. But he didn't let that be the end of his life. He didn't let that be the determining factor in his future. And everyone here has weaknesses. The key is, do we let those define us, or do we let the Lord help us with them? And as I mentioned, in all of these stories, the one thing that is a echoing a statement over and over and over is the reality that if you're going to succeed, it's going to require hard work. And that's true for anybody. If we're going to succeed, it's going to take hard work. Anybody can settle for mediocrity. But if we're going to succeed and we're going to fulfill the potential that God put within us and we're going to accomplish the things that God created us to do, it's going to involve some hard work. And we're going to look at that tonight as we continue in the story of Joseph. And I want to read just a few verses here. And beginning in verse 37 and reading down to verse 44, The Bible says, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. So basically, I read this morning how Joseph gave him a solution to the problem. One thing, young people, let me help you out here. Some of you don't have any jobs yet, but you're going to have jobs in the future. And anybody who works under anybody, let me help you with something. Every organization has problems. And the leader probably understands the problems. If you're going to bring a problem to a leader, also bring a solution to the leader. That really encourages a leader. And Joseph did not just say, you got a problem. You're going to have 7 good years and 7 bad years. That's a problem. He gave him a solution. See, we need to offer some solutions. And so he gave him his solution about collecting grain during the good years and having it available during the lean years. And he said this was a good thing to Pharaoh and to his leadership. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such an one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said, and he's referring to Joseph. And he said, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God, now look who's giving credit to God. This is a pagan. But because of Joseph's witness of God, and because of Joseph's testimony of God, and because of Joseph being willing to step out on a limb, trusting God, he was able to be a huge influence in the Pharaoh, to where the Pharaoh said, it is very clear that the true God is with you. Amen. And he says, as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. That's pretty impressive. Amen. To go from slave in prison to be basically the guy leading the country. That's pretty impressive. It says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring, his own ring, his signet ring. That basically is saying, this man represents me. Whatever he says goes, because I'm giving him that authority. It says, he took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. Now, wait a minute. We saw Joseph a few chapters ago having a coat torn from him. Amen? Now he's got a coat being given to him again. And it says, he put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him ride in a second chariot, which he had. So it was one of Pharaoh's own chariots he gave to Joseph to use. And they cried before him. Listen to their response. Now, this is a slave. This man got to Egypt as a slave, and he just got out of prison. And when he drives Pharaoh's chariot down the road, look at what people are doing to this slave prisoner. Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. That's a pretty impressive story, isn't it? See, the very thing that God laid on Joseph's heart, God was accomplishing in Joseph's life. Because Joseph cooperated with the Lord all along the way. Joseph didn't fight against what the Lord was doing. Joseph didn't try to get his hands in there and manipulate what the Lord was doing. Joseph just trusted the Lord to do what he could only do. Amen. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to know the Lord well enough, to trust the Lord enough, to let the Lord work in our lives and bring him glory through us the way he wants to. And that's basically how Joseph lived life. He did God's will, God's way, completely for God's glory. Now, I want to pick up in the outline. On the second page of your outline is the continuation of the outline for today's message. And point number four, godly living ends up paying off in God's time. And we just read the part about how it's paying off here. See, when we cooperate with God, life works a whole lot better. And I can testify to that personally. There's been times in my life that I was not cooperating with God. I was working against God. Guess what? Things didn't go so well. And there have been many times where I have cooperated with the Lord, and man, life is so much better that way. I have more peace of mind. I have more confidence. I see more accomplished, and I'm able to recognize the blessings of the Lord more clearly and offer God more praise because I'm seeing what He's doing, and it's evident. But when I'm struggling with God and when I'm working against God or not cooperating with God, life is harder for me. I'm more miserable. Most of the people around me are more miserable. And I've got more to complain about than I do to praise about. And I don't think I'm too much different than you are. See, when we cooperate with the Lord, life goes so much better. Even if we're suffering, we still count it all joy, just like the Bible says in James. See, Joseph cooperated with God instead of wasting time arguing with God. Have you ever done that? Arguing with God? It's a big waste of time. Because, like I said this morning, God will do His will. The question is, will you benefit from His will? See, we don't need to argue with God. We just need to trust God and yield to God and let Him work. See, Joseph submitted to God's will instead of trying to accomplish it on his own. That's where a lot of people mess up too. Instead of yielding to God and being a tool in God's hands, they want to do it their way. You know, we're described, we need to be like tools. And everybody here has a tool of some sort. Whatever craft you do, you have tools to do that craft. Whether it be a hammer or whether it be, you know, whatever, you have tools that you use, a chainsaw or whatever, a hot tub cart, you know, whatever it is. Everybody here has tools you use in whatever you do, whether it be a hobby or a job. And absolutely none of those tools will work on their own. Right? Except for maybe your computerized sewing machine. But you still have to put you the code, right? You still have to do something. See, tools are only as good as they're used, and they're only as effective as the one using them. So you got to know how to use it to use it well. See, God knows how to use us as a tool. What we need to do is yield to Him. We don't need to try to strike out and do it on our own. We need to just yield to Him and let Him work through us. See, Joseph sought to honor God wherever he was instead of trying to exalt himself. I'd like you to take your Bibles and go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I want you to see a text here, a great, great passage about Christian living. I'm going to begin reading in verse 6 of James chapter 4 and read down through the end of the chapter. The Bible says, "But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." I don't know about you, but I don't think it sounds very good to have God working against me. When we don't cooperate with God, God is working against us. When we try to exalt ourselves in pride, God is working against us. The Bible says in verse 7, here's the solution. "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy unto heaviness. Humble yourselves." Notice this, verse 10. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." See, when you lift you up, there's pride involved. When others lift you up, there's probably pride going to result. But when God lifts you up, there's no pride involved because he gets the glory. And that's the way Joseph operated. He let the Lord lift him up, and he didn't seek to lift himself up. He just tried to do his job, doing God's will, God's way, for God's glory. Verse 11 goes on and says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother judgeth his brother, and speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what the morrow should be." You know what? None of us knows what a day holds, but God knows what every day holds. We're far better letting him guide us through life than trying to do it our own way. He says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will." See, that's the title of the message. God's will, God's way, for God's glory. See, if we let the Lord lead us in life, we're doing his will, letting him work through us to accomplish his will, and he gets the glory for it. And he is the one lifting us up, and not we ourselves. It goes on and it says, "For we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin."
Right.
See, we need to cooperate with the Lord, and we need to let the Lord work his will out in our lives. And letter B there, under Roman numeral number 4, is when we wait on God, he works his will out beautifully.
Amen.
You know, it's a wonderful thing seeing God work in a person's life. It's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
When I see a lost person get saved, that's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
When I see a Christian growing, that's a beautiful thing. When I see marriages strengthening and growing together, that's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
When I see parents training their children in the things of the Lord and children honoring their parents, that's a beautiful thing. And it's not just beautiful to me, it's beautiful to anybody that's watching it. And when God is at work, it's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
And when we wait on the Lord and let him work his will out, his way, it's always a beautiful thing. I'm so glad the Bible does say he turns ashes into beauty. And we need to let the Lord work in our lives. See, when we wait on the Lord, he equips us for his will. And we see that in the life of Joseph. God is equipping him for this momentous event where he becomes the second in command in Egypt. And when we wait on the Lord, he fills us with his spirit. And even Pharaoh realized that. Pharaoh even said that the spirit of God is upon this man. I desire lost people to look at my life and say, "Man, the spirit of God is there." It just, not for my glory, but for God's glory, knowing that they're seeing that.
Amen.
I'm doing something right. It's always good to know you're doing something right. Amen. And when God gets the glory, you know you're doing something right.
Amen.
See, when we wait on the Lord, God fills us with his spirit. When we empty ourselves of ourselves, he can fill us with him. And that's what we need to be doing, emptying ourselves of ourselves so he can lift us up. He can fill us with himself. See, when we wait on the Lord, he fills us with his will in our lives. He fulfills his will in our lives. And that's exactly what we need. We need his will done in us so he can use us to do his will around us. See, when we wait on the Lord, he blesses us with his success. And there's no greater success than his success.
Amen.
I've told you before, I had my life planned out and I thought it was a good plan. But I'm telling you right now, God's plan's been a far better plan.
Amen.
His plan's always better than our plan. We just need to yield to him and wait on him and let him bless us with the success that he wants us to have. See, when we wait on the Lord, we are still doing what he has given us to do with him. Waiting on the Lord is not doing nothing. Waiting on the Lord is being obedient to what he's already given us. Waiting on the Lord is not getting ahead of God. Waiting on the Lord is not lagging behind God. Waiting on the Lord is doing what he's given us to do until he gives us something else to do. You know what I'm doing at Somerville Baptist Church? I'm waiting on the Lord. Now, I'm busy being the pastor here. And I'll be the pastor here as long as God wants me to be the pastor here. But I'm waiting on the Lord and doing what he's given me to do until he gives me something else to do. See, we need to be waiting on the Lord. That doesn't mean doing nothing. It means doing exactly what he's given us to do.
Amen.
See, when we submit to God, he prepares us perfectly for his perfect will. And that's exactly what we need to do. You know, before I move on, there's some scriptures there in Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes 3, it says, there's a time and a season for all things.
Oh, yeah.
And he makes all things beautiful in his time, is what the passage there toward the end of that chapter says. And when he makes it beautiful, it's beautiful.
Amen.
And we need to trust him for that. But it's in his time. I'm sure there's times where Joseph is like, okay, Lord, we can move on to the next thing anytime now, right? I don't know about you, but 11 years in prison would have been long enough for me.
Oh,
I didn't need two more. But the Lord has his time. And we need to trust him in his time.
Yeah.
See, we need to submit to God as he prepares us perfectly for his perfect will. And that's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 is all about. Not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the Lord in our lives. Being conformed not to the world, but to his will. Being renewed in our minds and reboot and renewed in our heart to where we can know what the perfect will of God and we can be equipped to do the perfect will of God and we can prove the perfect will of God by doing it in our lives. See, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 15 and 18, there is two statements that are basically the same. They're not exactly the same, basically the same. When God repeats something, it's not because he forgot he said it before. Oftentimes when I repeat something, it's not because I forgot I said it before. God repeats things because he's trying to make a point.
Amen.
And he realizes we forget things. And in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Before honor is humility." And in Proverbs 18:12 says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Those last phrases are identical in both Proverbs. Before honor is humility. I talked to you about that last Sunday, and here it is. And we see it in the life of Joseph. Before he is honored and exalted, he goes through the school of humility. And that's important for us all. And that's important for us who are raising children. We need to make sure they learn humility so they can handle success. Because a lot of people are ruined with premature success. A lot of athletes that come out of high school and go straight in the pros, it ruins them. It ruins them. I've rarely heard of any success stories of anybody winning the lottery, but I've heard of hundreds of disasters and tragedies from people who won the lottery. It ruins them. See, we need to learn humility before we experience honor. And that's what we see in the life of Joseph. God is perfectly equipping him for his perfect will, his way. See, God had prepared Joseph to be a humble and meek man, and he was. And Pharaoh saw that. God had prepared Joseph to be a wise and godly man, and he was. And Pharaoh saw that. God had perfectly prepared Joseph to be exalted, to be over all of Pharaoh's empire. And he did it well, because God prepared him for it.
Amen.
See, God had prepared Joseph to save nations of people. Not only the Egyptian nation, but the nation of Israel. I realize it was only 70 souls, but it was still the nation of Israel, right? It came into Egypt 70 souls. 400 years later, it went out over 1 million. But the reason they were saved is because of Joseph. And who knows what other nations were saved around Egypt, that people came to Egypt to get grain. I don't know if you've ever looked at a map, but Egypt, here on the northern part of Africa, and Canaan is up here quite a ways. There's lots of people between Canaan, where Jacob came from, and Egypt. So if the famine was felt up there, there's a lot of people in between that felt the famine as well. I would dare say there's many other people that came to Egypt to get grain.
Oh boy.
So there's many, many people, many nations that were delivered from this famine because of God's work through Joseph. Romans number 5, God will accomplish his will in the lives of his submitted children. You know, somebody says, well, I don't know the will of God. Well, God will lead you in his will if you'll let him lead you.
Amen.
God wants you to do his will. God wants every one of his children to do his will. God wants them to know his will. God wants them to be prepared for his will. And God wants them to do his will. If you're not doing the will of God for your life, it's not God's fault.
Oh boy. Good preaching.
That's just the facts. And I'm not saying God's will for everybody's life is to be a preacher or be in vocational ministry. I'm not saying that at all. But God's will for every Christian is to be a Christian. And God's will for every Christian is to be a witness to the lost. And God's will for every Christian is to live according to the Word of God.
Amen.
And God's will for every Christian is to be used as a tool in God's hand for his work here on this earth. And God's will for every Christian is to bring God glory in their life all the time. That's God's will for every Christian, not just those in full vocational ministry. So if you're not doing God's will in your life, it's not God's fault.
Right.
When God called me in the ministry, I was pretty sure he had the wrong address. Because all the things that were needed for ministry, I was pretty confident I did not have. But God made it very clear to me, if I was going to do his will, this was his will. And if I wanted to do something else, that's my business. But he didn't have to get on board with it. And there was a revolutionary thought that came to me one day. When God calls somebody to do something, he always equips them to do it. But it takes preparation. And God used some mentors in my life, in Bible college and in my home church, to basically change me, to transform me.
Amen.
Just like Romans 12 says. And God equipped me for the ministry that he called me to do. And if he can do that for me, he can do that for anybody. I guarantee you that. See, God will accomplish his will in the lives of his submitted children. See, we can resist God's will for our lives. I mentioned that this morning. Whether you benefit from God's will doesn't change God's will. God's will be done. You remember that this morning? The question is, will you experience it positively or negatively? God's will be done. See, we can resist God's will for our lives, but it does not change God's will being done. It changes us being a positive part of it. It changes us being blessed for doing it. It does not change God's will. It changes our experience of God's will.
Amen.
See, when we resist God's will, we miss out on the blessings of doing his will. When we resist God's will, then we miss out on our part of that plan. But God's will still be done. See, his plan will still be fulfilled. See, when we resist God's will, we are living in sin of disobedience. Remember James at the end, verse 17 of chapter 4? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And you know, when we're disobeying God and we're living in our will instead of God's will, we are more vulnerable to Satan's attack.
Very good.
The safest place for a Christian to be is in the center of God's will. The safest place to be. The strongest place to be spiritually is in the center of God's will. The most defense you have against Satan's attack in your life is in the center of God's will. See, God can do for us what we could never do for ourselves. And the life of Joseph is a very clear evidence of that. If you were to write a story about a guy being thrown in a pit and thought about being killed, but instead being sold into slavery and becoming a slave to a government leader, and then making him upset and getting thrown in prison and then forgotten in prison, I guarantee you, you would not end the story this way. You just wouldn't. It's not humanly logical. See, this story is this way because God did it.
Amen.
As I've said it before, there was a time under Chuck's leadership that they were looking at relocating the church ministry closer to LeGrand. And they had a piece of property. It's a great piece of property. It was right there on Highway 82, and it was a great spot. And they had a verbal agreement, and the farmer that had the land, he was good with it. But his kids, from what the story I understand, his kids got a little upset about it, and they put a kibosh on it. And the farmer was kind of bummed, and Chuck was kind of bummed, and I guess I see heads shaking, and church was kind of bummed. But you know what? In hindsight, I'm kind of glad, because this right here, closer to LeGrand, makes perfectly good sense. This right here in Somerville makes absolutely no sense at all. Correct? It doesn't. You can't explain this here humanly. This is something God did.
Amen.
And it is marvelous in our sight. Amen? It is marvelous in our sight. You know, what happened in Joseph's life, Joseph gets no credit for. Joseph did not get Joseph out of prison. God did.
Amen.
Joseph did not exalt Joseph to second in command of Egypt. God did. See, when God does something, he gets the credit for it. It's something only God can do. And the end of this story is literally something only God could do.
Amen.
A prisoner becoming second in command over an entire empire. Just doesn't make any human sense. But when you equate God into the factor, it works out perfectly.
Amen.
See, God fulfilled his dream to Joseph even when it seemed impossible. And I'm sure there was times Joseph felt, this dream, I must have messed up something or something. I don't know. You know, how's this going to work? But he just kept trusting God, and God kept working, and things worked out just fine. See, God did for Joseph what even his family did not even believe was possible. Remember when he told his brothers his dream? They laughed him to scorn. Remember when he told his father his dream? His father looked at him and says, really? Come on, Joseph. I'm going to bow down to you. You got to be kidding me. I understand those are not the exact words. That's not exactly in the Hebrew. But you get my point, right? But the point I'm trying is, his family doubted this, but God still did it.
Amen.
See, God did for Joseph what no one else could have accomplished. Even Pharaoh couldn't have done this on his own. You know why? Pharaoh didn't have a clue who Joseph was. Joseph was not on Pharaoh's on his radar at all. He never heard of Joseph. He didn't care about Joseph. Joseph was not even in his thoughts. Somebody had to tell him about Joseph. The first time he ever saw Joseph was when he was standing in front of his throne after he got cleaned up.
Right.
He didn't know this guy from Adam. Pharaoh could not have done this on his own. God did this.
Amen.
And God gets the credit for it. See, God gave Joseph far more than he could have ever had on his own. And everybody here needs to get a hold of this. You could have a pretty decent life on your terms. Most people, if they, you know, even these rags to riches stories, all these people that I'm talking about aren't Christians. That's not part of the qualification of me sharing these stories. The only qualification of me sharing these stories, you go from nothing to something. Larry Ellison, that I shared last week, the founder of Oracle Enterprises, I'm pretty sure he's not saved. But my point in sharing these stories is the fact of a human being can make something of themselves if they want to.
Amen.
Even a lost human being can do that. I mean, if you looked at the billionaires, here's a great story. One of the wealthiest men in the world lives in Korea, South Korea. And Christianity is not the dominant religion in South Korea, okay? And he grew up in South Korea. He is South Korean. He follows the religion of the Koreans, Shintoism, all that stuff. That's his religion. And he and his wife were just totally disenfranchised with their life. They had tons of money, but they were totally empty on the inside. And their religion was offering them nothing. One of the buildings they owned was being rented. Part of it was being rented by a Baptist missionary. And they said, "Let's go to church tonight at our building that's being used for a missionary, our church. Maybe they got something we can hear." And in that service, God saved them. Now, he got rich before he was saved, correct? But he did more afterwards for God's glory than ever got accomplished before. I'm telling you this, you can have a decent life on your own. If I would have gone my way, I probably would have had a decent life. And I would have made some money and I would have given to missions. I had a great plan. It was a nice plan. But it would not have been even close to what God could do. And in your life, it's the exact same. You could have a decent life doing it your way. But what you can come up with on your own cannot even compare a minutest detail to what God can do through you and in you. Joseph's life would have just been staying there, you know, working for his dad and becoming the ruler of his family. That was the plan. That was the family plan. But God did far more than that, right? And you know what? If Joseph would have done his plan and stayed there and took over his family's business, where would they have gone for help when the famine came? Because the famine was still coming, right? Where would they have gone for help when the famine came?
Oh boy.
Because Joseph wasn't, if he would have stayed there, he wouldn't have been in Egypt, right?
Right.
So, there's a problem there, right? See, God can do in us and through us far more than we can ever do on our own.
Amen.
And we need to understand that. Doing God's will, now get this, young people, get this. Doing God's will still involves work on your part.
Amen.
Just because you're doing God's will doesn't mean he does all the work. He does the part only he can do. And he expects you to do the part you're supposed to do.
Amen.
You know, there at the end of that story, in the text that we were reading, I want to look back here at the end of that story. Look at verse 45 and 46. We didn't read that part, but look at verse 45 and 46. And Pharaoh called Joseph's names, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that, and he gave him to wife Ashtoreth, and the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, that's one of their gods. And Joseph went out, look at that last sentence, and Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And look at the last sentence in verse 46. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. There was some work that he had to do. For this plan to work, somebody had to work the plan.
Right.
Guess what? For God's plan to work in your life, you got to work God's plan.
Amen.
And it involves some work. Sometimes it involves getting up early. Sometimes it involves staying up late. Sometimes it involves working through lunch. Sometimes it involves working long hours. Sometimes it involves just, you know, spending time in prayer and laboring in prayer. But it involves some work. See, we must do what God gives us to do, but we must trust Him to do what only He can do. When you're witness, saving a lost soul, there's a part God expects us to do, spread the gospel. But there's a part only God can do, save the lost soul. There's not a single person here that can make somebody get saved. There's not a single person here that can bring conviction in the heart of a lost person. There's not a single person here that can regenerate a lost soul. God must do that. But when you give a gospel tract to someone, you do your part and God does his part. Yes. When you give a verbal witness to somebody, you've done your part and God does his part. See, it's a cooperation. There's a part God expects us to do and he won't do for us. But there's a part only he can do and we cannot do it for him. That's where waiting on the Lord comes. We do our part. He must do his part. I sent a text out to preachers throughout Oregon that I know, and just encouraging them as the summer ends and the fall begins, and just letting them know I was praying for them and just trying to encourage them. One guy texted back and he says, I am planning and praying and pursuing to be productive. Now, he can't determine the productivity, but he can determine the planning and the praying and the pursuing. Amen? I like that. I told him I was going to borrow that. But it's a great plan. See, we can't determine the productivity, but we can determine our part. God has to do the productive part. We've got to do our part. See, Joseph still had to do work of organizing and collecting and rationing and leading. He had to do all of that. But you know what? God had to do a part too. God was going to send those good years. God had to do that. See, God's will accomplished in our lives is a cooperation. It's a cooperation of us submitting to him and obeying him, and him working through us and in us and around us to do what only he is able to do. I love those songs we sing about God's ability. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. I love that song because he is. And I love the other one too. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to do what anything that comes my way. Aren't you glad he's able?
Amen.
See, God is able to do his part, but he expects us to do our part. And part of our part is yielding to him working in us. Because he's got to work in us so he can work through us, so he can use us to work around us. And that's what we see in Joseph's life so beautifully. God working in him. And then God working through him. And then God using him to work around him. And if God wants to do that in Joseph's life, he wants to do that in our lives. And he wants to use every single one of us to fulfill the potential he put within us for his glory and for the good of his work here on this earth. My question to you is, are you doing God's will for your life? Are you doing God's will for your life? If not, why not? Are you afraid that it just won't work? It worked for Joseph. It'll work for you. All you got to do is do it God's way. Let him do his will, his way, through you, so he gets the glory for it. Are you doing God's will for your life? If not, change it tonight. The Bible says that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Friend, if you haven't come to repentance yet, why not? It's the will of God that you'll trust his Son as your Savior. Why not? Let's do that tonight. Let's pray.